Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this invocation that we chant, is this A, the first words of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Is it B, the first words of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? C, is it the mantra that Dhruva Maharaj chanted in the forest? Or is it D, all of the above? Which one? Which one? All of the above. You have to read those cantos. Pretty easy to start with the Bhagavatam because it starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. If it worked for Dhruva, it'll work for us. So we're reading from the 6th canto, 17th chapter, 21st verse. Is that what's behind me? Here we go. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Sukham Dukham Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Sukham Dukham Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Sukham Dukham Cha Nishkala. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Sukham Dukham Cha Nishkala. Eka, one, Shri Jati creates Bhutani, different varieties of living entities. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atma Mayaya, by his personal potencies. Esham, of all the conditioned souls. Badam, conditional life. Cha, and. Moksham, the liberated life. Cha, also. Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distress. Cha, and. Nishkala, not affected by the material qualities. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, unaffected by the conditions of the material world. He creates all the conditioned souls by his own personal potency. Because of being contaminated by the material energy, the living entity is put into ignorance and thus into different conditions of bondage. Sometimes by knowledge, the living entity is given liberation. In Sattvagun and Rajagun, he is subjected to happiness and distress. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The question may be raised, why the living entities are situated in different conditions, and who has arranged this? The answer is that it has been done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without anyone's help. The Lord has his own energies Parashya Shaktir Vividai Vishurite. And one of them, namely the external energy, creates the material world and the varieties of happiness and distress for the conditioned souls under the supervision of the Lord. The material world consists of three modes of material nature: sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. By sattvagun, the Lord maintains the material world. By rajagun, he creates it. And by tamagun, he annihilates it. After the varieties of living entities are created, they are subject to happiness and distress according to their association. We'll get back to that. When they are in sattvagun, in the mode of goodness, they feel happiness. When in rajagun, they are distressed. And when in tamagun, they have no sense of what to do or what is right and what is wrong. Om Ajnana Timaranya Sagina Gina Salakaya Chaksurin Militanyena Tasma Yishri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manupistam Stapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupaka Dhamma Yam Dadati Swabhanantikam Mande Hom Shri Yudhama Jai Vapad Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutali Shmari Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namani. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. There's just one God. He's unaffected by the conditions of the material world. Anyone else like that? Raise your hand. Good, I thought I was the only one affected by it. He creates, as it says here in the word for word, he creates different varieties of living entities. Now, if the souls are all equal, parts and parcels of God, how is he creating different varieties of living entities? Is he creating different varieties of souls? No, what he's talking about here is based on our desire and based on our actions. We develop a particular kind of body based on the things that we've done. And based on that, we get a different kind of material body. Maybe it's an insect, maybe it's a man, maybe a beast, maybe a plant, based on the activities that we've done. So these are the different varieties that are created to enter into this material world. So basically what happens is that the living entities are contaminated by these modes of nature, and because of this they become unhappy. I remember in Los Angeles in 1970, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture about the modes of nature. And he described them like the colors. Yellow, sattvagun, is goodness. Red, rajagun, is passion. Blue, tamagun, is ignorance. So we can see, it's just like if you take some water and you put a little yellow in it, or a piece of paper, you put some yellow on it, and you see, okay, there's yellow. Or you put a little red. Or you put a little blue. And then you mix them up. Pretty soon you have three, right? From the three, you get nine. From nine, you get 81. We have many colors. But all the colors basically come from those three primary colors: yellow, red, and blue. And from that, we develop so many colors. You mix them so many times, you're not quite sure what the mixture is. So these modes of material nature become very mixed up, and they are acting on us at different times and different places. Part of it's by association, part of it's by the time of day. In the morning we find the mode of goodness is more prominent, in the middle of the day passion, and in ignorance is in the nighttime. This is why, since it's ignorance, we might as well sleep in the nighttime anyway. And we might as well make the best use of the time that is in the mode of goodness. We find that people who, Krishna says that the time of awakening for this introspective sage is the time of sleep for the general mass of people. And the awakening for the general mass of people is the sleeping for the sage. So we are up in the morning about the time people who've gone to the bars are going home to go to sleep. And when they are all out getting intoxicated, we are simply sleeping. So we become contaminated by these modes of nature, and we become morose. We are hankering for what I don't have. Which mode is that? And we lament for what we don't have. Yes, we'll discuss a little more about these modes. But just like Krishna is saying there, that based on their association, if you associate with yellow, you become yellow. If you have a white kurta on, and I throw either yellow, red, or blue on it, it becomes stained with that color. So if you don't want a blue kurta, you don't get near the blue paint. If you want a yellow kurta, you stay near the yellow. So in one sense, we wonder why these modes are so important to understand. Because don't we just surrender to Krishna? And we think, I'm unhappy, and what can I do about it? There's a saying, how does it go? I reveal the way I feel by the things I say and do. So when you're saying and doing things that make you miserable, you reveal that. But are we stuck? No, because it says, I reveal the way I feel by the things I say and do. By changing the things I say and do, I can change my feelings too. So how do we ultimately do that? We have all kinds of action to do. And do we think, well, I'll do a little passion and a little ignorance and get confused there? We do some action. So by changing the things we say and do, so what action should we take? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that all that we do, all that we eat, all that we offer, and all austerity should we perform should be done as an offering unto him. So then we're doing the actions as an offering to Krishna. So since we are doing the actions as an offering to Krishna, they all become purified. So since the actions are all being done for Krishna, why do the modes of nature even matter? Shouldn't really matter, right? Whether I'm in ignorance, passion, or goodness, I just take that and offer it to Krishna. Is it correct? Well, take food, for instance. If I'm in the mode of goodness, I can offer the food to Krishna that is healthy and nurturing. If I'm in the mode of passion, I'll just offer food that's too salty and too pungent. And if I'm in the mode of ignorance, it's okay to offer meat because I'm offering it all to Krishna. Is this correct? No, this is not correct. This was one of our trick questions just to see if you're paying attention. Because in one sense, we transcend all the modes. But the difference is that the sattva guna, even though it's material, it can be made spiritual by offering to Krishna. And we find based on these modes, it is easier or harder to get involved in Krishna consciousness. They compare it to grass. If we're in the mode of ignorance, it's like having grass that's not only green, but it's wet. If you want to start that on fire, it takes a lot of effort. The mode of passion, it's not wet, but it's green. The mode of goodness is it's dry grass, and you just put a spark in it, catches fire immediately. So even though the mode of goodness by itself isn't spiritual, it can be made spiritual, right? Just like the flour is that we make the atta flour. It is not a chapati, but you can make a chapati out of it, right? But can you make a chapati out of this glasses case? Can you make it out of a bead bag? No. So even though the flour is not a chapati, it can be made into a chapati by adding the ingredient of fire. So the same way, the mode of goodness can be made spiritual by adding the ingredient of Krishna. So the idea is because these modes are coming and going by association or by how we feel or by thoughts from the past, what we have to do when we take action is we have to consider very carefully. Say, okay, I'm offering something to Krishna. Is this the best thing I can do at this time? You know, we think I must do the best service at any given moment, right? That depends on the time, right? If it's 4:30 in the morning, what is the best service at that moment? Being a Mangalartik, right? If it's 12 midnight, what is the best service at that time? Sleeping. So it has to be at the right time. We don't think that because sleeping at 2 in the morning was the best time, then that worked so well, I will do it all day long. So to engage in spiritual life, we have to carefully consider what our actions are. Many of them are set for us. We know, okay, after we have Mangalartik, we have Nisringa prayers and Tulsi Puja, and then we have beads. We already have beads around our neck. We just have to chant on them. We just have to do the action we've already done. And so the main things we do, like chanting Hare Krishna, studying books, or is knowledge not important? Is knowledge not important? We just have devotion? Is that true? No, because as it's said here, sometimes by knowledge the living entity is given liberation. So right there in the verse, it is telling us that the proper knowledge is important. Even mundane knowledge. If you don't know where the temple is, you won't make it to the program. So the knowledge is important to get. The knowledge of what is spirit and what is matter and who is the controller of both and how this material nature is working on us. What are the results of our actions? So to be a spiritual person and to not only be in the mode of goodness, we have to think before I take an action. Now, of course, we know the worst things. I'm not going to go to the bar and drink liquor tonight. I'm not going to kill any animals. And I am going to chant my rounds in the morning. Some of these are easy. But the intermediary things, in the middle, the things that we do, we have to think, am I doing these in Krishna's service? Am I acting in the proper mode of material nature? So how can we know whether we're acting in goodness, passion, or ignorance? Anybody have an idea? What do we have to know first? We have to know what goodness action is, passionate action is, and ignorant action is. And that's where the knowledge comes in. It's important to find this in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has discussed so much. And we find that as we understand how these modes work and what the result is of these modes, that their influence can gradually cease. Part of it is we're just going along like a log in the river. It's floating along under the current and it is completely controlled, not knowing where it's going. So if we can understand how these modes are acting, if we can understand which things are in which mode, then these things will cease. And we will also be able to cease from committing offenses. We find these modes of nature are apparent in many different things. We find this. We need this knowledge to act in Krishna's service. We need to know that it's all under Krishna's control and Krishna can help us get out of it. But even though we know what the solution is, we also have to know what the problem is. And just like there are many different colors, different people's situation in the modes of material nature is different. Generally, whatever people are the most addicted to is the worst thing for them, and that is the biggest problem. It isn't that they are not all problems, but different people have different sets of problems to deal with. So the best thing to know is, just like you don't take the bottle and drink it and find out that it was alcohol or find out that it was poison. What do they say, forewarned is forearmed? We need to know what it is that we are doing. So they say, oh, here, eat some of this. What do you find out first? Well, what is it? Where did it come from, right? Well, it's some stale piece of something that wasn't off to anybody. It's been sitting outside all week long. No. We, of course, eat prasadam, but we know that if we're going to offer food in the mode of goodness, we know that in all these things, the modes of material nature take place. So food in the mode of goodness is going to be healthy, vegetables, fruits, milk products, things that will be healthy and nurturing and easy to digest, and this will give us a feeling of goodness. in the mode of passion, we will eat foods that are too spicy, too pungent, too salty, too bitter. They give you a kick, you know. In the mode of ignorance, we eat foods that are decaying, or meat, or drink alcohol. Generally, we can tell some benchmarks on these modes. The mode of goodness, we can tell where we're at. We're in the present. That's why chanting Hare Krishna, if we're concentrating, it makes us spiritual and it brings us to the present. Because there is a past, but of course it's gone. And there is a future, but it's not here yet. And sometimes we're so stuck between worrying about the past and the future that we're not in the present. And you'd think if you were stuck between the past and the future, you'd actually be in the present, because that is what is in between the past and the future. But quite often we're stuck in that, and we can tell. So if we're in the mode of goodness, we're in the present. And how do we react with other people? We try to be kind. We try to be helpful. In the mode of goodness, we develop knowledge. In the mode of goodness, we have peacefulness and cleanliness. We don't mind doing some austerity. In the mode of goodness, we have a sense of knowledge. In the mode of goodness, we want to do things that improve our mental and spiritual condition. Now, in the mode of passion, you can tell when that mode is there, because where do you want to be? In the future. I want to get there, and I want to get there fast. I want what I wanted, and I want it now. Of course, this leads to frustration, because the material world just doesn't work as the way that we would like it to. I don't know what's wrong with it. I gave it a plan, and it didn't live up to my plan. We all have that. In the mode of passion, we're hankering, and we're developing so many desires. The epitome of the mode of passion is sex desire. You see the opposite sex, and of course, the opposite sex is just... It's amazing. You see the pigeons see each other. They think, wow, did you see that pigeon with the beautiful feathers? And we don't think that, right? But somehow, all the flesh is put in the right place. In the mode of passion, our mind says, wow, that looks good. So in the mode of passion, we want that. And we want to achieve so many things for ourselves. So we work really hard to get a few morsels of things, like the ass. He's working so hard following that carrot. The carrot is right in front of him, and he keeps walking, and he's almost there, right? I'm almost going to get it. So people are working so hard to get things in the mode of passion that they become frustrated. In the mode of goodness, they become happy. In the mode of passion, they become frustrated. So based on these things, we can tell which mode we're being affected by, because they're all floating out there. Mode of ignorance, we're in the past. Oh gosh, I had this, I wish I had that, I wish I'd done this, I wish I could have done that. And the mode of ignorance also, there's foolishness, madness. When people eat meat or take intoxication, they are embedded in the mode of ignorance. And the thing with any of these modes is they expand. It's just like if you drop a little bit of yellow on the shirt, it kind of expands, doesn't it? These modes are kind of like weather. When it becomes cold, you think about jackets and socks and staying inside. When it becomes hot, you think about fans and jumping in rivers, and everything changes. So when you're influenced by this mode, it's like being under that water. You're influenced by that. If you're in air or you're in water, you're having a totally different experience. So this is the experience of these modes of nature. So generally also in the mode of passion, a mode of goodness, you're trying to help other people. In a mode of passion, you're trying to exploit people and take from them something to get for yourselves. This is why you see always in the politics, you see, if you'd heard what Donald Trump was saying, the same line that many Republicans say, the way we can help the average people is that we will give tax breaks to the millionaires and billionaires, and that will help you, right? Does that help you? This is their idea. They're so greedy that no matter what they have, all they can think about is getting more. And of course, when the person is so greedy, He doesn't really see that other people exist. He says, that's your problem. Everything belongs to me. Your problem is you think you exist, right? You didn't notice that the world centers around me? And people are thinking this way in the mode of passion. But in the mode of ignorance, they're also destructive. Not just exploitive, destructive. And the difference is that in the mode of goodness, your actions, you know what to do. In the mode of passion, you're not quite sure. You have somewhat of an idea of what to do right, and sometimes you're driven by your senses. But in the mode of ignorance, you're sure that the wrong thing is the right thing, and the right thing is the wrong thing. What's wrong with you people? Don't you like to go out and get drunk and eat meat? What must be wrong with you? I remember my stepbrother was intoxicated, and the one man was not drinking alcohol, and he says, what's wrong with you? You're not drinking alcohol. Do you have a problem with it? And the man turned to him and said, it appears that you are the one that is having the problem with alcohol. So the person who is drunk, he will think that the person who is not drunk is what? Has a problem with alcohol. But isn't the person who's drunk having a bigger problem with it? But this isn't the way they see it. Well, I don't see it that way. As if I can change reality I change the way I see it, and that changes reality. As we said earlier, by changing the things we say and do, we can change our feelings. That's true. But by changing our opinion, we can't change the reality of a situation. Things are the way they are. So this is why this knowledge is helpful. Not only to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we surrender to Him, we will go back to Him, but to understand how these modes are working, and what kinds of actions we can take to be devoted to Krishna, not covered by the modes, and therefore not committing offenses. These modes come in so many ways, like we said, the spiritual understanding. In the mode of goodness, he sees that, yes, there is a spiritual spark of Krishna inside every living entity. Like the humble stage, he sees with equal vision the Brahman, the cow, the dog, and the dog eater, and the elephant. Because he sees that there is a spirit soul inside each one. The person in the mode of passion just sees, oh, there's some Indians here, and there's some Russians here, and some Americans, and some Italians, and some Lithuanians, and French, and whatever else. He sees different. Some are blue kurtas and green kurtas, and he differentiates them by bodies or what team they appear to be on. He differentiates them by some material condition. And the mode of ignorance, they just want to work so they can get money for alcohol and liquor. They don't see anything but the kind of work that they're trying to do and how to achieve that. And so this is why we have to, as I said earlier, carefully consider the things that we do to see if they're put in the right place. It's like, say I have to mail a letter. It's like in America, I don't know if they have them here, Prabhupada said that when we offer the service to Krishna, it's like putting the mail in the authorized post office mailbox. I see, well, there's a box here. Can I just put it in this box? Any box will do. Will the letter get there? Right? Just like there's a donation box. You put the rupees there. If I just drop it out in front of the temple, will it make it to Krishna Balaram and Radhashyam Shinder? Someone puts a box there. If I put it in there, will it make it? So we have to consider what our actions are. Like if we're giving in charity. One person appears to be drunk. They had the sign. The one person says, I won't lie. I need money for beer. So is that good to give him charity just in the street? No, because what happens is that if you're helping that person to stay in ignorance, this isn't good charity. It's like the person says, oh, I feel so despondent, I just want to kill myself. So you being a charitable person, you give them a gun that's loaded, correct? Is this good charity? Is this charity in the mode of goodness or passion? Neither one, it's in the mode of ignorance. Because, again, the idea goes back to goodness is helpful, passion is exploitive, ignorance is destructive. So if your charity is being destructive, it is in the mode of ignorance. So now I go down, there's a hospital, and I want my name on there, that Shudidas gave money to this new part of the hospital. I'm giving to the hospital. So, and I have my name put up. And I want everyone to know. So does this make my charity in the mode of goodness? No, it makes it in the mode of passion. So to be in the mode of goodness, again, the whole thing is that we carefully consider the things before we do them, right? Like Prabhupada says, getting on an airplane flight. If I want to go to India, I can't climb on the flight to Ohio. I will go somewhere else. So in goodness, the activities are done for some good cause. And when it's spiritual, it's given to Krishna. And there's some remuneration, donation given to the priests. We serve prasadam, spiritual food. And we do a charity where it does the highest and best use. So we try to think, even within the charities of ISKCON, which place are they doing nice service? Which place do we have more humble devotees? Which place with a little help could do a whole lot more? We have to consider these things carefully based on spiritual knowledge. How can my money, my actions, my words do the most good? So again, we talked about that knowledge in the mode of goodness. We see the spiritual spark everywhere, that these modes of nature take place in everything we do, in our actions. When we take actions in goodness, we're not attached to the result. This is what a karmi is, someone who's attached to the result. We don't do it with desire or hatred, we just do the service. That's why one of the great philosophers, I think it was Immanuel Kant, said that the best thing to do as a service is you do something you don't want to do, because then you know you're doing it for the right reasons. If you really want to do it, right, then you might be for the right reasons, it might not be. So of course we don't not do something because we like it, but this isn't the parameter. We do it because we are doing some service, and we will quit doing the service we like best to do something else if that is the service that's appropriate. In the mode of passion, it's all what I can get out of it. What can I do to get something for myself? How can I earn more money? How can I get the better job? How can I get the most money? How can I get the best looking woman? The actions are designed how I can get something for myself. And in the mode of ignorance, there's just no consideration. We get drunk. We don't know what is going on. So these modes are affecting all the different things we do, like happiness. The happiness in the mode of goodness is difficult because sometimes it's like poison in the beginning, because we have to give up certain things, right? But it's nectar in the end because we get Krishna. Now the mode of passion, it's nectar in the beginning, so it's the best one, right? So it seems, right? But it's poison in the end. But we think it doesn't matter. It's like, I'll lend you 100 rupees today. Wow, I got 100 rupees, but you have to pay me 1,000 tomorrow. So it looks good today, but what you pay for it later. This is part of we have to consider what the cost to value ratio is. The spiritual activities may cost twice as much, but they may be 10 times the value. The mode of passion looks good right away, but only for a second, and then when it wears off, then we feel miserable, unhappy. And it's something we don't want to achieve, right? Prabhupada gives us fortune, but we're in the modes of material nature, we become unfortunates, and we don't want to be an unfortunate. And mode of ignorance is just no consideration at all. So we have to learn from these what the proper action is to take. And by doing these proper actions, we become more free from modes of nature, and we also become free from offense. In these parts of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is talking about the modes of nature, you know, he was talking about the austerities that people do in the mode of passion. They just do an austerity to get some benefit for themselves. the austerity to motive ignorance, they drink more liquor and they become more miserable, or they torture the body in ways, and they torture other living entities, and they cause pain to other people. Because remember, ignorance is destructive and passion is exploitive. So the proper way to do these austerities, Krishna says, and this will definitely help us to live a pure life and to keep ourselves free from these offenses. You know, Krishna talks about the austerities of the mind and the body, things like cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, nonviolence. We know, what is nonviolence? Not hurting anyone, unless I can get something out of it. Now, that's when we're moving from it, right? It's not hurting anyone. What does simplicity mean? Does anyone know? What does sim mean? What? Well, it's the Latin. There's sim and simplicity, do and duplicity. What is sim and what is do? It's like aplicity and doplicity. Now what does it mean? One. And what does do mean? Two. So instead of simplicity and duplicity, we'll call it aplicity and doplicity. Simplicity. I say what I mean and I mean what I say. Not, oh, you can trust me, meaning I'll keep your money. I say exactly what I mean. This is simplicity. This keeps it easy. Duplicity is, I told different people different lies, and how am I going to keep it straight? I don't remember which lies I told to which people. So if we just tell the truth, then we also have to think about what we're doing. We think, well, I have to reveal what I'm doing, so I better be careful about what I'm doing. The next one is the austerity of speech. Now, this one isn't required for everyone to know. Only the people who talk to other people need to know this. If you never talk to anyone else, you don't need to know this. But this is such a great point. I gave a talk about this in Nairobi at a peace conference there, about the austerities of speech. And the one politician said, I know a lot of people who need to know this. So these austerities of speech, as I said earlier, that before we do things or eat things, we don't just put food in our mouth like a baby does or a monkey, right? Like the monkey went, the one devotee had the big bag, and the monkey reached in the bag and got out a package and bit it. And then he went like this and threw it. What he'd done is gone in the laundry bag and picked out the soap and bit it. He didn't think carefully about what he was eating, so he ate the soap, and he got miserable over it, right? He thought he had a big treat, but he didn't. So we have to think carefully about what we say and do. So these austerities of speech, give it carefully. Before I open my mouth, I think, number one, is it truthful? Not, well, will it benefit me? Is it truthful? Two, is it pleasing to others? You know, not like saying, oh, that I see you're wearing a blue kurta today. Yesterday, the green kurta you had looked so nice. I wish you would wear that one again, right? Not, hey, stupid, how come you're wearing blue instead of green, right? So it should be pleasing, and it should be beneficial. There's so many things we can say, but again, back to the mode of goodness, what was it? We're helpful to others. So it should be beneficial. And, of course, it should be palatable. In other words, not agitating to others. Tell them, oh, that's good, you're chanting two rounds. Maybe you can move to four rounds now. Like when we're preaching to people, we have to consider what their condition is. We have to move them from where they're at, not from where we'd like them to be. So we have to be not agitating. Think how they can take it. Give them something they can take. We want to benefit people. We want to move them forward. But it has to be in increments that they can take. And then, of course, the fifth one is it should all be based on scriptural information. We don't just dump out things that we think are true. Should be based on scripture. Who can name one of those five austerities of speech? Just one. What's one of them? Truthfulness. What's another one? Pleasing. Beneficial. What else? What else? Not based on spiritual knowledge and not agitating to others. We should all know these, unless you never talk to anybody. then you don't need to read this part. But most of you probably talk to other people's. But you think about this. Isn't this good parameters before I speak to people? Before I make a mistake and insult others? Shouldn't we, Krishna, mention these things? You know, the Vedas are very vast. The Bhagavatam here is about 18,000 verses. On the Brahmaloka planet, it's like a million verses. They probably have a lot more time to read there, don't they? But Bhagavad Gita is only like 701 verses, including the verses by Arjuna and Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. So if Krishna is going to mention things in here, that means it's important. So these austerities of speech, if we're speaking and we're not using these parameters to speak, we've missed something. So this is why this knowledge is illuminating, is that we have to understand, what is Krishna? What is Krishna's nama, guna, rupa, and lila, name, form, quality, and pastimes? And what are these modes of nature trying to pull us away? And how can they be recognized in each of the actions that we do and the foods that we eat and the people and circumstances we find ourselves in? So this knowledge of these things is important because we want to apply this knowledge to every action we take so that the action we take can be the most spiritually productive action we take at any time of the day. Are there any questions or comments? Everyone understood or everyone was sleeping? So do we always have to be truthful? Isn't it better? Yes. Yes? You give them prasadam? There was a song. They say the best things in life are free. Those kind of things I don't need. Give me money, that's what I want. So, you know, it's better to do like, to do something where you know it's a charity, like you give to the deity, or they have food for life, where they actually feed people, or you help sponsor the children at the Gurukul or the Sandapani Muni school, or you help print some books, or you, as I said, you think about carefully the actions that you take, not just give to here and give to there. No, I remember I was in a bank in Bangalore, and the person came with a sign that says, "I'm deaf and dumb, please give me money." So the person says, "Oh, please go talk to the security guard at the front." So he went over to there, and I said, "If he's deaf and dumb, how did he know what you said?" So, there's that in Laguna Beach, there's one lady that sits out there begging, and her son brings her in a Mercedes, expensive car, and drops her off to... So better to charity to think about it carefully. Where can I give to the proper temple? To Vrindavan or to Mayapur or to my home temple or to sponsor a feast where devotees or people who are starving are actually being fed? You know, you don't have to. That's the other thing, as we said with actions, is we can consider it carefully. If I'm going to perform an action, if I'm going to go to a place to serve, give service, or do charity, I don't have to do it right this minute. Say, hey, you have to donate right now, or that's the only time. You can think about it carefully. Weigh in the things. We don't think any temples or projects are bad, but we weigh out which one would be the best for me, which one does the best. So the other thing in those things is we don't have to take action immediately. We can consider. Just like speaking, we consider these things first. We consider the things in charity before we do them. It doesn't have to be done quickly. To have this kind of thinking, we think carefully before we take actions. One more quick question? Yes.
You mentioned how we want to remain in the present.
Yes. No, Rajagun is doing things to get something for the future. Oh, yes, that's the thing, is that we're doing things, but we're trying to bring the future into the present. See, in either case, we're trying to bring it to the present. If we're lamenting, we're thinking about the past, but we're trying to bring it to the present. But it's gone. You can't bring it to the present. And in the mode of passion, you're trying to bring the future into the present. But it isn't going to come into the present. It's later. So we don't actually bring it into the present. In goodness, we just act in the present because we're already there. In the future, we're wanting it to be Sunday. I want today to be Sunday. Does that make Sunday the present? No. Friday's the present. Sunday's still the future. My son used to wake up and say, "Is it tomorrow yet?" But tomorrow never comes. So it's not that we are in the present, but we are wishing what we want in the future was here in the present. That's the hankering. We don't want to wait for it. In goodness, we think, "I'll be happy with what's here now, and the future, I'll do it when it comes," right? That way, when we're here, we're here. When I go to Mumbai, I'll be happy to be there. When I go to South Africa to give some lectures, I'll be happy. And when I go back to Laguna, but in passion, I'm thinking, "Oh, I wish I were there. Oh, I wish I was back where I was before." In the blue quarter, you have a question? How can we understand of what? Well, that's why we see how our symptoms are. We looked at the symptoms. Am I peaceful? Am I accepting things the way they are? That's the mode of goodness. I accept things the way they are, because that's the way they are. In the mode of passion, you wish you could have some honor. You think you're better than others. You're unhappy when someone else is doing some service instead of you. You want the pride, you want the honor, you want the fruits for yourself. That's how you can tell. And in ignorance, you're just lazy and indolent. And basically, it's that way. We can read. Krishna's mentioned these modes. We study them. It's not that much reading. They're in the 14th chapter, and in the 17th chapter and 18th chapter, Krishna mentions about these modes. So by studying those, we can understand how they're working. That's why it's said that if we understand how they're working, their influence ceases. So read about the modes of material nature, and definitely study that austerity of speech. When I see you and I ask you, I want you to know what those five factors are of the austerity of speech. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all for coming to class.